parasha is Parashat Truma. The topic for the shiur is twofold. I never ever know in advance if I'm going to cover everything that I want to talk about. One is in general, something that will, in a sense, illuminate all of the parashiyot. Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisa, Vayakel, Pikudei, from here until the end of Shemot. And we also shed a certain degree of light on Yitro and Mishpatidra, which I'm really embracing half of, more than half of the Sefer Shemot, because it does become a little necessary, I believe, to explain why there are going to be 4.5, nearly 5 parashiyot that deal with the construction of the Mishnah. Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisa, Vayakel, Pekudei. Again, make this, make that, and they made it, and they did it, and they collected. It could have been all included into one or maybe two parashot, but here we have it spread out over five parashot until the end of Torah, the end of Sefer Shemot. The second that I want to get into is one of the kelim that was made in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Mishnah, and that was the Aron. So let's go step by step. First we'll read a few psukim. I always really have to read a few psukim. And the beginning of the parasha lists all of the materials that are necessary, and God says, V'yikhu lituma, they shall take unto me an offering. And then, number one, K'chol asher amimah de'otcha, et tavnit ha-mishkan, ve tavnit kol kelav, v'chein ka'asu, everything that I show you, the construction of the Mishkan, and the construction of all of the vessels that are going to be in it, so shall you do. And then, the Torah begins with the first. V'asu aron atzei shitim, they should make an aron, an ark, out of shitim wood, amatayim v'cheitzi orko, 2.5 cubits in length, Amor v'chetzi rabbo, an amor, a cubit and a half its width, v'amor v'chetzi kumato, and a cubit and a half its height. V'tzipito toza haftahar, you should panel it or make around it pure gold, v'bayetu michutz, it's a panel from inside and outside. It should be overlaid in gold. V'asita alav zer zahav savir, and there should be a crown or an edge of gold going all around. V'yotzakta l'arva kavod zahav, this may also be very important, you should melt in order to make 4 rings of gold, and they're going to go on 4 sides, and in those gold rings are going to go sticks, staves, that are going to be used in order to carry the aron. V'yotzakta lo, yotzakta means to melt. Melt the gold, make the rings, then atata al arbatan, which you should do, place them on the 4 corners of the aron, ushtei tabaot al tzalohe achat, ushtei tabaot al tzalohe hashenit, 2 rings on one side, 2 rings on the other side, and the length of the, well, this table will do very well. If this is the length of the aron, then the tabaot want 2 on each side, and then vasita bade atzei shitin, you shall make staves, sticks of shitin wood. Vitzipita tamzav, and there should be an overlay of gold around them. And what are you supposed to do with these sticks? Veiveta tabadin ba tabaot, you should bring the sticks into the rings, al tzalot ha'aron, on 2 sides of the ark, or say that our aron behem, so that the ark will be carried with these sticks. The tabot aron yu apadim, I hope we'll get to this too. In the rings of the ark shall the sticks be, lo yosuru mimenu. You're never permitted to remove them, they always have to remain there. The natata el haaron et haidut asher atena lacha, and you should place in the ark the testimony that I will give you, the luchot are going to be placed in the ark. Vasita kaporet zahav, then you should put a covering on top of the of the art, pure gold, amatayim v'chetzi orka, v'arma v'chetzi rabba, the same measurements in length and width as the ark, v'sito shnayim kruvim, and they're going to be two cherubs of gold, mitcha tazotam, beaten from one piece of gold, mishnei tzot ha-kaporet, and two sides of the kaporet. So you have the aron, on top of the aron you have a kaporet which covers it, and coming out of this gold kaporet are the two cherubs. Vasei kruv efo mikotzen yizeh, a cherub on one end, ukruv efo mikotzen yizeh, cherub on the other end, min ha-kaporet, from the same piece of gold as the kaporet, tarasu ha-kruvim, you should make the kruvim, as you make it so kav on both sides. And the kruvim should be parsei kronofayim, their wings. If you noted my hands were going like this all the time, in order to express the idea that the wings of the cherubs had faces of children, but they had wings, and the wings touch. They cover the ark. So chichin become fair with their wings, they cover the kaporet. Upneim ishalach in their faces, one to another. El ha-kaporet, facing the kaporet, you pnei ha-kruvim, the face of the wound. Venatata et ha-kaporet al ha-aron u'ala, you should place the kaporet on top of the aron. Now the aron was open at the top, and the kaporet is placed on it, and that covers it. Ve'el ha-aron titein et ha-edut, asher etein alecha. And into the aron, you should put the testimony, the luchot that I will give to you, to know adin luchasham, and I will meet with you there. God is going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, and thereby through to the Jewish people from the kaporet. That's where the voice of God will emanate from. V'shidibarti yotan, I will speak to you v'yala kaporet, from above the kaporet, v'bein shnei akruvim, from between the two cherubs. Asher al aron ha'idut, which is upon the ark of the testimony, and kol asher atzaveh ucha el bnei Yisrael, everything that I will command you to the children of Israel. Okay, that's the chapter of the ark. There are a lot of details we have to talk about, but we're going to go step by step. I said that we're going to talk about the general, the parasha, or the parashiyot as a whole. So, there's a fascinating medrash, and my attention was first drawn to this medrash about 30 years ago by my oldest brother, Oliver Shalom, who was rabbi in Worcester, Massachusetts for about 36 years. I don't know, maybe about 8, 9, 10 years ago. Anyway, he brought my attention to a very, very amazing and beautiful medrash. The medrash appears in the introduction to the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov is a sefer of all of the agadic sections of Talmud, and the Ein Yaakov is an explanation of these agadic parts of Talmud, written a few hundred years ago. Now, in his introduction, we have it there, number 3. He has been talking about a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot al Shlosho Devarim Ha'olam Omei, a Mishnah that we all know, the world stands on 3 things: Torah, Avoda, and Gemilut Chasadim. Torah and Avoda, the word Avoda has a number of meanings, but he's assuming that it means the worship of God through prayer. Or in its first form, it was Avodat HaKorbanot, the sacrifices that were brought in the Mishkan and then in the Beit HaMikdash. And then, of course, Gemilut Chasadim. We are social beings and we live in a world with other people, and Gemilut Chasadim is a fundamental principle by which a world can exist. V'yaskim, now, he had explained that Mishnah, and then he says, V'yaskim im zeh ma'amar, what agrees with this is a statement, Matzati katuv b'shem ha-medrash, I found it written someplace in the name of the medrash, Ubikashtiu v'lo mitzatiu. I sought it. I looked for this medrash in all of the medrashim that I knew, and I didn't find it. Bechol shito sidri, in all of the 6 parts of Talmud. That means he looked through all of Talmud and through all of the medrashim, and he looked for this medrash, and I didn't find it. V'zehu nisho, but this is the text of the medrash. So he's going to tell you the text of the medrash and how he understands it. And then I'll tell you how my brother Oliver Shalom looked at this medrash. And then, of course, there was little place left for me to add something that I think may be significant to an understanding of the medrash. The medrash says the following: Ben Zoma Omer, Ben Zoma says, Motzinu Posuk Kolel Yoter, we find a Posuk that is all embracing. We find a Posuk in Torah that is powerful, that's meaningful, that's significant. And that Posuk is, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hero Israel, God our God, God is one. That's Ben Zoma. Ben Nanas Omer, Ben Nana says, Motzinu Pasuk Kolel Yoter, we find a Pasuk that's even more powerful, more inclusive, more encompassing. Very difficult, you know, how are you going to find a Pasuk that is more powerful than Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? I mean, of course, proof, we should, of course, mention that the Ilan Ramon, Olav HaShalom, said this Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, as he was coming over Yerushalayim and the Har Habayit. Unbelievable kiddush Shem Shemayim. I just hope that there are many more children in Eretz Yisrael because of him that know that there's a pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that there is significance to the Har Habayit. Whoever is behind this campaign of Lev HaUma has been Kena Olam Haba in one stroke. You've seen the signs on the buses. Har Habayit Lev HaUma. Thank God they're getting rid of all the nonsense from the buses. No?
Also on the radio, every day.
And the radio, you hear it, I think, every hour. Har Habayit is the heart of this people. Whoever's doing this, they know their business. They know their business. You know how you accomplish things in this world? Good PR. I don't think Har Habayit has had better PR in all of history than it did through Ilan Ramon last Thursday and through this Lev HaUma. Of all things, I don't know, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, a brochure entitled Lev HaUma, describing the significance of the Har Habayit, came with my daily Haaretz. That it didn't consume the Haaretz. You understand? Or maybe it's shot that the, you know, the Haaretz knew that it has to protect this beautiful brochure over there. A little life to it. But it's an amazing, amazing campaign. And I think we need more of that if there would be a campaign about the Mitnachalim Giporei HaUma. It would go a long, long way to changing some of the nonsense in this country. So he said, Shema Yisrael. Ben Zoma is the one who says, the great, powerful pasuk is the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Ben Nana says, the great pasuk is, V'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha. Love your friend like yourself. Shimon ben Pazi Omer, this is the third opinion. It's going to be a fascinating marriage. Shimon ben Pazi says, Motzinu, we find Pasuk Kol El Yoter, we find a Pasuk that's even more powerful, more all-embracing, more all-encompassing. Now we're stretching the outer limits of our imagination to be able to find a Pasuk that is greater than Shema Yisrael and V'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha. And which Pasuk is it? It's a Pasuk in next week's Seder. Et HaKeves Echad Pasa Baboker in the Mishkan, and later in the Beit HaMikdash. One Shepshala had to be brought in the morning, the korban, the constant sacrifice of the morning, and one in the afternoon. Et HaKeves Echad Taseh Baboker, one you should make in the morning, Et HaKeves HaSheni, and the second one, Taseh, you make it at evening time. Of course, the question is, in what way is that person greater than Shema Yisrael and V'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha? The mystery of the Medrash becomes even greater when the Medrash says, Omad l'Raploni al Raglov. Reploni, an anonymous, a John Doe or a Chaim, somebody, gets up on his feet in the Beis Medrash. Now, it seems that this was some kind of discussion taking place that day in the Beis Medrash. Oh, my Raploni, I'll rival Raploni. Gets up on his feet and he says, halacha ki ben pasi. The halacha is like ben pasi. Of course, the question is, what kind of a halacha are we talking about here? I mean, is this a Bible context? You know, mirror, mirror on the wall, which is the greatest pasuk of them all? And what does it mean? Until Raploni, the anonymous rabbi, gets on his feet and he says, ah, the halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Pasi. And what's the proof? Dichtiv, because it says, similar to the pasuk we have here, the first pasuk at the top, there's a pasuk later, kechol asher ani mareh otcha, everything, no, this pasuk. This is the pasuk. Kechol asher ani mareh otcha, the first pasuk that we learn. Everything that I show you, tavnit hamishkan, the construction, the form of the mishkan, the tavnit kol kelav v'chein tasu. What a mystery! What does it mean? What kind of halacha has to be decided over here? That the pasuk at keres echad, one sheep in the morning, one sheep in the afternoon. This is the great, powerful pasuk. That's more powerful than Shema Yisrael, Ve'achdor Echa Kamocha, and the halacha is like that, because it says Kechol Asher Ani Ma'arot, everything that I show you, so we shall do. What's going on over here? The Royal Haskis, he says, it's important to mention Yisod Shorish Machloket Gimel Tanoim Ha'ela. What's the Machloket between these three Tanoim? You know, I don't think I'm going to give you the pshat of the Ein Yaakov. I'm going to give, huh? I'll give you, huh? No. I made a decision and I stick to my decision. So my brother said the following. He said that there was a very, very significant discussion that was taking place that day in the Beit Midrash. There was a question on the agenda. There was a question that was raised. It may very well have been a period of crisis. And by the way, you can be absolutely certain that every period in history is a period of crisis for the Jewish people. Yeah. Okay? There must have been 1,000 rushes in my career that said something like, you know, in these difficult times in which we live. I can say it every week. And you know, but we keep going from one difficult time to the next. That's amazing. Yeah. The question that was placed on the agenda of the Beit Midrash that day was, what is the most significant or the most important idea, belief, thought that we must transmit to our children if we want to see a future to Klal Yisrael? What's the secret? What is it that we must make certain becomes part of the legacy of the next generation? And without that, we don't have a hope of our grandchildren or great-grandchildren being Jewish. What is it? What's the secret? This, of course, was a significant question, like it has always been a significant question. Ben Zayn says we find one passage that encompasses within itself the power, the majesty of Torah. It represents the great contribution of Klal Yisrael to all of history and the whole world. And if you are able to get that message across to all generations, then we have a future. And that idea is the idea of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There is a God. We believe in that God. That God is one. That God is the God of Israel. We're talking about such profound ideas that have great impact and great power. And these are the ideas. Ben Zonda says, this is what we have. We'll take one moment out. Mark, you forgot to say it at the beginning of class.
Rabbi, when I say it, doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
It doesn't make any difference. Make sure your cell phones are off. A especially when I'm getting, you know, I was just reaching a peak over here, and just as, you know, you can hear Shema Yisrael come, L'tzonis achas docha meyatochochos. One jump at the wrong moment can destroy all sorts of great statements. My God, just in the middle, here it is, I'm peaking. All right, we'll do it again. Ben Zoma says the idea that must be transmitted to all generations is the profound, powerful idea of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We have made that known throughout the whole world. A child who's raised with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, a child who hears it from hundreds of or thousands of miles away, coming out of the atmosphere. This is a powerful idea. Don't we know how many millions upon millions of Jews just before the moment of death cry out Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? There is no other pasuk. No, nobody ever before he died said Bereshis Baal Elokim et Hashemayim times. Nobody even said the after L'Reach from Ocha. Only one pasuk has such power, such impact, that Zonda says that's what you have to that's what you have to teach the next generation. Ben Nana says Matzinu pasuk kol el yoter. We find a pasuk that's more powerful, and is more embracing, and is more encompassing, and that pasuk is V'ahavta l'reyach kamocha, love your neighbor like yourself. What Benanis is saying is the following. Shema Yisrael is powerful. Nobody denies that. There's only one problem with Shema Yisrael. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. The greatest. But we're human beings, and we live in a world. And what becomes most significant is, does this idea of Shema Yisrael translate itself into life? One cannot live on profound ideas alone. We live in a real world, and in a real world we come in contact with real people. Does one take the Shema Yisrael and translate it into a V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? It's possible for people to be great intellectuals and be so ugly in their relationship between man and fellow man. And we talked about that earlier this year. We talked about that when we said about the greatness of Avraham Avinu. The greatness of Avraham Avinu was not that he discovered God, but that he discovered that as a result of God, one's relationship with one's fellow man has to be a relationship of Gemilus Chasodim. What was Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu, we don't look at him necessarily as the intellectual colossus of all time who discovered a God. No, we look at Avraham Avinu as the one who knew how to translate the Shema Yisrael into living. He's the big Gomel Chesed. He indeed is deeply concerned about every fellow human being. Benanis may be saying something else as well. If Shema Yisrael does not become grounded in reality, the Shema Yisrael itself will ultimately disappear. You have to take great ideas and make them part of daily living. And if you make them part of daily living, then the great ideas continue to live. But somebody who's going to preach Shema Yisrael and not practice it through V'yahavta l'reach kamocha will lose the Shema Yisrael itself. Alright, so now we have two psukim. We have Ben Zom and Ben Nanis, the great idea of Shema Yisrael, and then its translation into the real world through V'yahavta l'reach kamocha. Then finally comes Shimon ben Pazi. Shimon ben Pazi says there's a pasuk that is even greater and more encompassing than them all. and that is you should bring a sheep in the morning and a sheep in the afternoon as a sacrifice upon the altar. In what way, we asked, does that pasuk measure up to the greatness and the brilliance and the power of the Shema Yisrael, of Yehoshua Kamocha? Shadis, you know what Rav Shimon Pazi is saying? You can teach the next generation Shema Yisrael. You can teach them V'yahavtel Re'acha Kamocha. But if you're not going to teach them Et HaKeves HaEchad, it's all going to be lost. What is the meaning of the Pasuk Et HaKeves HaEchad? To translate it into the contemporary idiom, you know what it means? You have to be ready to make sacrifices every day. Making sacrifices every day means a real commitment to the ideas of Shema Yisrael V'yahavtel Kamocha. Because at some point in time, they may be great ideas that one gives lip service to. The real test is, are you ready to give something up for Shema Yisrael? Are you ready to hurt yourself in order to express V'yahavtel Re'acha Kamocha? Are you ready to make a sacrifice? Are you truly committed? Or, you know, if it's not going to put me out at all, I'll do a little chesed. It's always fine to, I mean, even doing a little chesed, I may get the Keser Shem Tov Award from my local Jewish institution, you know, Are you ready to help a fellow Jew until it hurts? Are you ready to express Shema Yisrael, even if it's, yes, it's going to cost you, yeah, you're not going to work on Shabbos, you're not going to eat anything you want to eat, you're going to accept upon yourself all of the requirements of Torah. That is a sacrifice already. Now, if you raise children that they can sacrifice, they don't have to have all of the tithes of the whole world. Don't spoil them. They have to understand that there's an idea of commitment. And that's the only way that Shema Yisrael, V'yahavtel Re'acha Kamocha, are going to remain part of the consciousness of the Jewish people forever. Amar Rav Ploni al Raglov, the anonymous rabbi, rose to his feet in the Beis Medrash and he said, the man who's right is Shimon ben Pazi. He's absolutely right. And what's the proof that he's right? The first pasuk we learned, Kechol asher ani mareh utcha, Tavnit HaMishkan, everything that I show you, the construction of the Mishkan and the construction of all of its vessels, the Chen Tazu, so you shelter. This is the way I understand it. This is my little, or maybe a little, more than a little addition to the words of my Michael. If I were to ask you, Parashat Yitro, who's the central figure in Parashat Yitro?
Hashem.
Who comes down for one time in all of history from the very heavens to the top of Mount Sinai? Whose voice is it that booms out across an entire world, resounds across all of the centuries, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt? The central figure in Parashat Yitro is the Chatan Yishlech and our relationship to him. If I were to want to sum up Parashat Yitro, you know what I would say the lesson of Parashat Yitro is? Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, he's the one who's speaking to us, he's communicating to us. Then we go to Parashas Mishpatim. What's the central theme of Parashas Mishpatim? If you would want to give a title to Parashas Mishpatim, what title would you give? It's clear, V'yahavtel Re'acha Kamocha, because all of Parashas Mishpatim regulates the relationship between man and fellow man. And it begins with the exception. It begins with the Hebrew slave. You have to treat the Hebrew slave like a man of dignity. Kal v'chomer, you have to treat every human being with great dignity. That's what it all is. And what about those powerful sukkim and mishpatim? Don't dare exploit the weak. Be careful of how you treat the widow and the orphan, because if they cry out unto me, I will hear their cry, I will punish it. If you would want to give a title to Parashat Mishpatim, it clearly is V'ahavta l'recho kamocha. These are two great ideas, two great parashas. What happens if I would want to give a title to Truma, Tzedakah, Kitisa, Vayakel, Pekudei? Mishkan, 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 Mishkan. Nearly five whole parashiyot. Everything that I showed you on the mountain, what was the purpose of all of it? All the construction and all of the donations and all of the effort, what was its purpose? So that there should be a place where we can bring a sacrifice in the morning and a sacrifice in the evening. The ultimate goal and the objective of Mishkan was so that we should bring daily sacrifices. Does God need them? As felt then, you understand, without a keves in the morning and a keves in the evening, his day is not complete. The keves echo tapoke and the keves benim arbayim, we need it. It's the lesson for us. Five parashiyot to teach us about sacrifice. And we call that now commitment. So Rav Plony gets up on his feet and he says, of course Rav Shimon ben Pazi is correct. You can turn a young man or a young woman into a great intellectual Shema Yisrael, and you will have failed miserably. You can even talk to them and impress upon them the idea of loving fellow man, and they may very well buy it. But if they're not going to have the third ingredient, the Shimon ben Pazi ingredient, it's all going to be one big waste. The halacha that was being discussed that day, the Beis Medrash, the question was the survival of the Jewish people, the survival of Judaism as a religion, the survival of Torah and Yadus. What a medrash. What a medrash. So this is our general introduction to all of the parashot that are going to come. They have a parashot to talk about that most vital ingredient, which is the ingredient of commitment. What's the first step? What's the first object to be built that the Torah is going to talk about? Obviously, it has to be the Aron. Because the Aron is that which is going to hold the Sefer Torah and the Luchot. That's where it's all going to be. And remember, the Luchot themselves. One half of the Luchot are Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The other half of the Luchot are V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. So the first thing is the repository of all Torah amongst the Jewish people. This is more significant than all of the others. So here we are at the Aron. So our rabbis immediately picked up on one thing that's fascinating. That second passage that we read. V'osu Aron atzei shittim, and they shall make an ark of shittim wood. You should know when it's going to talk about building the Mizbeach, or the Menorah, or all of the other objects in the Beit HaMikdash and in the Mishkan, it always says ve'osisa, you shall make, which is singular. The only place where it says ve'osu and they shall make is by the ark. And before this, when it's talking about the totality of the Mishkan, it says ve'osu li mikdash, they shall make unto me a mikdash, v'shachanti b'tocham, and I shall dwell in their midst. And then after the general, v'osu li mikdash, they shall make unto me a mikdash, only once more does it use the plural, and that's with regard to v'osu aron, they shall make unto me an aron, I'd say she did. Otherwise everything else is vasita. So if you turn over to the other side, We'll start with number five. That's the Ramban. Ramban says, Ba'osu Aram, and they shall make it Aram, Yarzura B'nei Yisrael and Yisqar L'malo. The plural is going back to the children of Israel, who I mentioned earlier, that they shall make unto me a Mishkan. Yachareichein, when it's going to talk about the details of the Aram, it moves to singular again. Vitzipito'on to, you shall overlay it with gold. Viyotzaktolo, and you, singular, should melt the gold to make the rings. V'kulam v'loshin yachid, ki Moshe k'neged kol Yisrael, the singular is, when v'osito, you should do viyotzakto, and you shall melt the gold, because that's talking about Moshe. Moshe, in this sense, is the singular who represents all of Israel. V'yitochein, and it's also possible, she'yirmos she'yihu kol Yisrael mishtabtim ba'asiyat ha'aron, ba'avur shehu kadosh mishkadei elyon. Now he says the idea that is expressed by many of the Farshim. The Aron represents, it is Torah. Torah doesn't belong to any individual. Torah doesn't belong to any particular segment of Klal Yisrael. Torah is that which belongs to Klal Yisrael as a whole. And therefore the Aron is the one object in the Mikdash that is introduced by the word for Asu, because everybody has to have a share in Torah. And the share in Torah, everybody has their own share in Torah. There are those who study Torah. There are those who support Torah. Between those who study and those who support, the two of them together should make up the totality of Klal Yisrael. The Sheyizku Kulam the Torah, all of them should be worthy of Torah. V'chein Omru the Medrash Rabba, the Medrash says over here, and the Medrash expresses it so clearly. Mipneimah, why b'chol akelim katuva asita, why with regard to all of the objects in the Mishnah it says v'asita singular, u'v'aron ketiva, and by the Aron it says v'asu aron, they shall make an ark. I'm Rabbi Yehuda b'Rav Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rav Shalom, so I don't know why I always like Rabbi Yehuda b'Rav Shalom. My father's name is Yehuda, so I'm Shalom Rabbi Yehuda. So you know, so every time I come to you, Yehuda Rav Shalom. Amar Yehuda Rav Shalom. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says V'osu? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Yavol HaKol V'yitasku Baruch. Let all of them come and let everybody be a partner in building the Aron. She'yizku the Torah, so that they should be worthy of Torah. V'ha'esek, how are they all involved? What makes them all partners? She'yitnadev kol echad kli zahav echad. Everybody should give one little object of gold. I don't know, an earring, a ring, I don't know, a coin, a krugerrand. As long as everybody gives a little bit of gold, all of this is molten together, and from this will come the Aron. Oh, Yazal Betzalel Ezamiyat, or somebody who's going to help out Betzalel in one way or another. Everybody have to have a share. Oh, Shechavnu L'davar, or that their intent and their mind should be, I might want a piece of the Aron. I want to be a partner. There's a fascinating pshat that says by the Orach Chaim, that's number seven. Fascinating Orach Chaim. The Orach Chaim says the plural of Asu Aron, Tam. The reason Sheba Aron Shina Hashem et Varel, that by the Aron God changed his words. And Dvorah Tov, Mikol HaKelim, his good word is different than all of the other objects. Shebekulam Amar, Vasito Shulchan, Vasito Menorah. By all the rest, he used the singular. You shall make a table, you shall make a menorah. Vetam Mishkan Taaseh, Vasito Tamizbeah. Vegam Protei Haron, that's what he says, even when we come down to the details of the Aron, as the Ramban pointed out, V'yotzakta, v'asita, right? But when the beginning of the command to make the Aron is in plural, v'asita v'aday ulay, she'ramaz, she'en, guf, it's a little, yes, I'll read it to you. Ulay, she'ramaz, The word for also the plural and they shall make comes to indicate she'en gufo shel Torah yachol leitkayem elo biklalut kol Yisrael. The fulfillment of Torah, there is no one Jew who can ever fulfill all of Torah. The only way in which Torah can be fulfilled in its totality is by all of Klal Yisrael together. Ve'in metziyut ba'olam, there is no possibility at all in the world, yachol asot kol ikrei ha-Torah, that one person should be able to do all that Torah demands. Ve'zel ha-Kohal, for example, if a person is a Kohen, harei zayin o-mikayin, etinat chavdal, matnot kuhunam, u'pitim b'chor. If a person is a Kohen, then he's incapable of fulfilling the mitzvah of redeeming the firstborn son. He cannot fulfill the mitzvah of giving one of the 24 gifts that Torah writes are to be given to a Kohen. Obviously, if you're a Yisrael, you're not going to ever go up to Duchen. Not a chance in the world. You're not going to bring sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash. You'll take a look, you'll see everybody doesn't have everything. No, of course I could walk into a minefield now.
Just what you're going to say.
And you know just what I'm going to say. Just what I'm going to say. But maybe I'll tell you, I was very busy over the weekend, and if not for the fact that Sunday, I think on Sunday, told me to read Barbara Sulfur in the Jerusalem Post, I would have missed that gem of an article. But you know, I don't want to be tarred and feathered because somebody will get their hands on a taste of this sheer. Let's say the following. I don't for the life of me understand why a woman feels that if she can sing Anonymous Miros, this is the be all and the end all. She's finally made it. Understand? By the time a kid is 13 years old and he gets bar mitzvah, he's thankful that he doesn't have to say it on his mirror side. Or why a woman has to feel that if she doesn't get shishi, you know, I'm waiting for the day that two women are going to scratch their eyes out in shul fighting for shishi. There are many major contributions that women can make in every area of Yahdut, and it doesn't have to be merely mimicking men. I don't know where this whole idea. So, you know, they can be a chazanit, and they can have an aliyah la-Torah, and then when I hear about how moved they are to tears, you may be moved to the tears by the first aliyah or the second aliyah, but you guarantee by the third aliyah it's going to be business as usual. Everybody has to find their own share, their own place in Torah. There's no point in this mimicking like a woman has made it if she's like a man. I think a woman should feel that she's made it if she's like a woman and fulfills the obligations that are her responsibility. And we need a new shine and say we need a minion where two and a half thousand years of Jewish tradition is thrown out the window. So you know what, I remind myself something else that if I started by quoting my brother, I remember my brother once told me, can you imagine, a fellow's going to go into a museum, there's a vase 2,000 years old, precious! And the fellow's going to take the vase and shatter it. I think that people are going to be horrified. Barbarian that you are. Do you realize the beauty of this vase? 2,000 years old. There's tradition by clients that it's 2,000 years old. Fair. It was good for 2,000 years of giants of Klal Yisrael. It's not good enough for this generation. We're going to daven for the Amid, and we're going to have all the yard, and we're going to. And so what? You know, if I'm going to quote him again, he told me once, and we used to talk often on the phone, he called me, if she wants to join men's world, and schlep in sleepy-eyed on the Long Island Railroad every morning, you understand? Schlep into town. And then get the 9 o'clock train at night from Penn Station all the way back out into Nassau County. And she thinks that that's equality. She's making a very, very big mistake. Everybody has a certain share in Torah. The Kohen has his, the Levi has his, the Yisrael has his, men, male has his, female has hers. It's all part of the totality. Nobody will fulfill all of Torah. The only way I can fulfill all of Torah is if I'm part of this mosaic. And that's a pretty good word under these circumstances. If I am part of the mosaic tradition of Torah, I have my share, somebody else has their share. That's what the Orach Chaim is saying about Vasu, and I have absolutely no intention to begin with to mention this, but these are the things that happen, and that's how I get myself into trouble. Okay. All right. Vimhu Yisrael, the Orach Chaim goes on to say, if he's in Yisrael, had he ain't a local Kayan, mitzvah sasei shabak rovas korbonas v'dinei. Oh, this is a great example. If I'm in Yisrael, I can't bring sacrifices. But I have a great passion and a great love for God. I want to go into the Holy of Holies. I want to bring sacrifices. Why should I be denied what Shmo Glo Kohen over there, who's not a Talmud Bacha like me, is able to do? I want to get up there and do it. Everybody out of the way, I'm going to do it. Sorry, it's not your job. Israel, so this is what I aspire to. I want to be a Kohen. And then of course you find the Kohen, when he wants to marry a divorcee, wants to resign the Kohuna, but he can't resign. Everybody has their own thing. And if we would all just mind our own business and do our own thing well, why would this be a much better world in which to live? Everybody wants to be somebody else and something else.
It's doing me a lot of good.
So I'll tell you. Last night, together with a few of our students here on the Italian Passover, she's not here this morning, she's most probably resting up. I'm involved with an organization called Alone Allah. This is a signal that it will take a 1 minute. 1 minute commercial break. So it's an organization with a number of rabbis and others got together to Rabbi Nachman Kahane is one of our people, Rabbi Chaim Ruben, Rabbi Fendel. Our purpose is to encourage American Jews to make Aliyah. So Mitzvah Yishabbos Chanukah, we organized a gathering in the Renaissance Hotel for the young men who learn in the 1 year programs over here. The main ballroom of the Renaissance, 800 young men. I never got up before an audience like that. It was an awesome evening. We had a band and we had a lot of Malka. It was unbelievable. Last night, because we're very interested in equality, Emin Olim, we had a similar evening for all the girls' schools. Now, there are not as many girls as boys, but there was someplace between 500 to 600 young women. And we filled up about two-thirds of the hall. Awesome gathering. The girls are much more, young ladies are much more expressive. Oh, this was beautiful. This was so nice. And we were selling slug about Eretz Yisrael outside, and people were buying game up on the Smecha, and they were buying also to dwell in the palace. It was a beautiful, beautiful evening. Everybody has their share in Torah. And there's a great deal to do. There are a lot of mitzvahs to do before we can finally say, well, I've done them all already, and now the only thing that's missing in my life in order to make me a complete Jewess is to sing Anan's Mirrors. Only thing that's going to make me closer to God is by having an Aliyah. I'm sorry, it's not so. And general rule, we serve and we worship God the way He wants to be worshipped, not in the way in which we decide on our own to worship Him. He may not like it. He may not like it. Chances are He's not going to like all of the halachic machinations in order to find some way to justify doing something that giants over 2,000 years never thought of. Right, that's enough. I belabored the issue. While I'm away, anybody who wants to anybody who wants to say anything has the right to get up over here and say. Alright. And Chen Levi, who the close Yisrael, he says, through the totality of Israel, Yekaimu Klalut Yikerei HaTorah. The totality of Torah can only be fulfilled by all of the people together. That's why it says, V'osu Loshon Rabim, in the plural, U'bishar Pratei Tikunei HaAram, Oma Loshon Yavid. And in all other parts of the Aram, it uses the singular, in other words, the individual can express himself in his own study of Torah, but the fulfillment of Torah can only be done by Israel as a whole. Cannot be done by anyone. Let's take a look at the Balat Torah up at the top. But also Aaron had said, "Shitim amatayim v'chetzi yarko v'arma v'chetzi darbo v'arma v'chetzi kamatau." Here there's a classic Balat Torah. We'll take the second paragraph there that begins with the word amatayim v'chetzi yarko. Do you see that? About 8-9 lines on amatayim v'chetzi yarko v'arma 2.5 amma the length. An amma and a half the width, an amma and a half its height. Kol mi daltav hayu shvurot b'chatzo'ei amot, l'lamei shekol mi shalomei Torah, tzarich l'shaber l'hashvil atzvam. Very beautiful thought he expresses. In all the other kelim, all the other objects that were built in the Beit HaMikdash, the measurements were complete measurements. Complete. One amma, two amma, three amma, four amma. You didn't have half. 2.5, 1.5, 1.5, only by the Urim you had 1. He says the only one who is going to ultimately succeed in Torah is the one who has the humility to know that he's a half. If you think you're a whole, you're not going to make it. If you have the humility to know that you're a half, and you're not going to be a whole unless you have somebody else. It also means that a person has to it also means that one cannot. Is that going to be a classic piece for candid camera?
Charlie Chaplin did that same routine a couple of years ago.
Yeah? It also means the following. It means that in order to truly succeed in Torah and in mitzvahs, one must have a sense of humility. Humility is represented by the half. I'm not a whole. I'm not it all. The Gemara says that Torah is compared. The Navi compares Torah, the Prophet compares Torah to water. Hoi kol tzomei l'chol amayim. All those who are thirsty go to Torah. The Gemara says the thirst is the thirst for the knowledge of God, go to water. And the Gemara, I think it's the Gemara in Soda that says, Mamayim, just as water, will always move from the heights, it's always going to go down. It will always descend. So too, Torah only goes to those who feel humble does not remain with somebody who sees himself at the very thing. The fact is that the mission Pirkeiolos always says, you know, who can succeed in Torah? The one who's able to be lomei from Achim, to learn from others, doesn't have the that sense of conceit and pride that there. Nobody can teach me anything. So the Balaturim says, the half and the half represent this idea. Then let's go to the beginning of the Balaturim. V'osu aron, v'kulam, he also talks about the fact that by all of the objects in the Beit HaMikdash, it says, v'ositra singular, chutz mi v'aron, d'chtiv, where it says, v'osu, shekol ha'kelim osa shlomo, ki yotza behem, chutz mei aron. That all of the very fascinating idea expressed over here. You should know, all of the kelim, Shlomo made new ones. The only one that he didn't make, anew. When he built the Beit HaMikdash, a new shulchan, a new menorah, a new mizbeach. The shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeach, all were not the size to fit into a bigger mikdash. The only thing that he used from the Mishkan that was built in the desert, precisely as it was the Aron. Nothing was done. The same Aron was used. So that this Vasu, therefore, the Vasu speaks about something that all of Klal Yisrael is building and will remain with all of Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Vasito, you singular should make, because there's going to be somebody else who's going to come later and is going to make something similar. Oran, the Balakura says, Otiot Oran. You take the letters of Oran, and you also have the letters of Oran, their light. Sheyesh bo Oran Shel Yisrael. In the Oran, you have the light of Israel. And you know what else you have in the word Oran? Nora. Awesome. Fearful. Because Torah is a consuming fire. Oron, sometimes our Torah, but it's always fascinating. We should learn more of them from time to time. Oron is in the Gematria Nezer, a crown. The same numerical value as crown. Sheket Torah Ola Al Gabeh, because the crown of Torah rises above everything. Al Kol HaKtarim, which rises above all the other crowns. That's why it says, "Va'asita alav zer zahav, upon him you shall make a gold border." U'b'shulchan k'tiv, by the table it says, "Va'asita lo." Now that's an interesting difference. By the Aron it says, the crown that is made around at the border is "Va'asita alav, upon him," and by the shulchan it says, "To him." Loma sheketa Torah ola al sharak tarim. That the crown of Torah is greater than all the other crowns. That's why by the crown of Torah it says, Olav, upon him. Not with him or to him, but upon him. All right, one. No, I'm not going to make it.
I have to ask you a question which relates to this whole thing.
Go ahead. No,
I've often wondered why in the second paragraph of Shema, sometimes it's singular and sometimes it's plural, What do the differences mean there?
I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to have to take a careful look at the second paragraph of Shema.
Okay.
In order to study it, so you've given me homework. And I now have 3 weeks during which to do this homework, which of course brings me back to the fact that I announced at the beginning of the class that I will be away for 3 weeks. But during these 3 weeks, I have great people who are going to take my place. Rabbi Gordon is going to say the parasha shiur next week. After that, it will be Phil Chernowski, and the week after that, David DeLoco. Let's hope everything will be peaceful and fine here until I get back, and after I get back.